We're here to look at what a morning. What a morning. The morning of the resurrection. What a morning. Luke 24, 1 through 12, and then 36 through 43. I'll be reading a little bit of scripture, so pay close attention. It was on the first day of the week, so that means it was on a Sunday. Very early in the morning, the women took spices that they had prepared and they went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, and I, that would have got my attention. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11, to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to be like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away wondering to himself what had happened. While they were still talking about this, Jesus suddenly stood among them. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking this was a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you have doubts that rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It's I, myself. Touch me. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe, it was because of the joy and amazement. And he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. What a morning. That would have been awesome. Our Bibles are filled with moments about the morning. Mornings are special. Can you imagine the beauty of that first sunrise on what Genesis chapter 1 verse 5 calls the first day? There had never been a sunrise before. It had been darkness and chaos and tumult. And God had said, "Let there be light." And he had divided, and suddenly there was that first day, that first sunrise. I imagine that was absolutely mind-boggling beautiful. We're told that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, prayed very early in the morning. He would wake up and slip off by himself and find a place of solitude and pray. Joshua in the Old Testament is pictured as a man who rose up early in the morning. Think of that morning in Genesis chapter 22 when Abraham rose up early and took Isaac and headed out for Mount Moriah to sacrifice him. What a morning it must have been for Jacob when he had wakened from the sleep, set up a pillar of stone in honor of God at Bethel because he had seen the ladder that reached to heaven and angels going back and forth. What a morning that must have been. Must have been a glorious morning for Daniel when the first rays of sunshine lit the city of Babylon after he had spent the night in the lion's den with the lions. Imagine how beautiful the morning was for the disciples after they had spent that terrible night on the Sea of Galilee being tossed to and fro in the storm. All of those mornings were great mornings. However, none of them can compare to the morning that we are discussing in this passage that we have read. I'd like to look at this great morning when our Lord Jesus conquered death, conquered hell, conquered the grave forever. Not for a moment, forever. And he conquered death, hell, and the grave for me and you. That's what we're discussing. There's never been a morning like that before. Nor shall there ever be another hereafter. What a morning it was when Jesus rose again. That morning when he pulled the stinger from death and gave life eternal to all of those who had placed their faith in him. All of that took place that morning. What a morning that was. I want you to understand that the resurrection of our Lord Jesus affects all of us. It has reached through history from that very day that it happened to this very day that we sit here. Lives have been changed. History has been changed. Men and women around the world have been changed. Because, you see, he's alive. He was dead, but he's alive. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The angel asked. He's alive this morning, and he walks among us. He lives in our heart. He's here to bless. Oh, what a morning. It was without a doubt the greatest morning there has ever been. Because it was a morning of, point one on your outline, if you've got one, of solemn reflections. We read in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took spices that they had prepared, and they went to the tomb as the morning began to dawn. On that first day of the week after Jesus had died on the cross, So women came to the tomb to finish anointing his body for his burial. The anointing process had been started by Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea on the day that Jesus died. While these women were heading to the tomb, the disciples, that lovely 11, were locked in the upper room, trembling in fear. Because they were afraid the same thing that had happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. They thought that that kind of death awaited them any moment. And they locked the door. And they stayed behind it. And the women ventured out. Certainly these women were sad. And they were probably weeping while they were on their way. The disciples were scared and they were probably trembling, just as Jesus had said, strike the shepherd. The shepherd had been smitten and the sheep had scattered. But why were they so upset? They had all believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They had placed their faith in him. They expected him to set up his kingdom right then and throw off the yoke of Roman domination and bondage. This is the man that's going to do it, and now is the time. And then suddenly he's dead. The very enemy that they thought he was going to overcome was the ones that had nailed him to the cross. Even though he had told them several times, there's a cross waiting for me. But don't worry, I'll rise again after 3 days. They never grasp that message. And so many of us today still haven't grasped that message. That Jesus died for me and you. That he rose again for me and you. And that message hadn't sunk in to them or to us. And now he's dead. He's in a tomb. And there's a big stone in front of it. Suddenly, their lives had radically changed. The one that they had placed their hopes in was gone. This man who had so radically changed their lives by the power that he had demonstrated, by the love that he had poured out upon them, by the power of God that was in him. And he was gone. It was a sad day for the followers. As I reflect on that sadness of the disciples, I can understand their grief. Even Paul, the apostle, years later spoke about it in 1 Corinthians 15. He tells us that if Jesus died that morning, then all of us have reason to grieve. But if Jesus is dead this morning, then we're all headed for hell and nobody has any hope. There's no hope beyond this life if that tomb is still full. If he is still dead. And in this life, we will be the most miserable. But that morning, It was a morning of solemn reflection, and those that were locked behind the door and those that were on the way to embalm him, they reflected on all of that. And you and I need to reflect on the day that Jesus changed our lives. And for some of you, it could be today. But it's also a morning of point two, startling revelations. Luke 24, 2 through 12. And I won't read all of those verses, but it says they found the stone that was rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they didn't find the body. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothing that gleamed like lightning stood with them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee?" In the midst of that morning sadness, our Father, God, took great pains to minister to their hearts. Think of that. This little group of women that were going, God went out of his way to minister just to them. How awesome is that? Aren't you glad that the Lord cares when you're hurting? And you know what? He does. When you're suffering, when you're hurting, when you're in depths of disappointment, when you're on the verge of giving up, when you're at a point where you don't know what to do, which way to turn, ask him. He cares. He knows. And he'll tell you. If there's anything I've found out in the 48 or 9 years that I've been pastoring, is that Jesus will talk to you. He will answer your prayers. If you need advice, he'll give it to you. If you need to know a way, he'll show it to you. If you need an answer, he'll tell it to you. If you'll just ask him. He moved in several ways to encourage the hearts of these saddened believers. Note a few things that he did. Number one, he rolled the stone away. He had the door open when they got there. Not to allow Jesus to escape. He didn't need that. But to allow man the opportunity to look in. We did need that. He sent angelic messengers with good news that Jesus was alive from the dead. And they came to those women. And they were gleaming and sparkling like lightning. And they said, "Don't look for the living here. He's risen. He's not here. He's alive." Oh, I love that song. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. Ooh. Because he's alive. And that sound still reverberates down the halls of time, out of the first century to this century. He's alive. Because of that, I have an eternal home in heaven. Then he had a word of encouragement for Peter, who had denied him. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. "But go and tell the disciples and Peter, he's going ahead of you into Galilee. Therefore, we will see him just as he told you." He met Mary Magdalene that morning outside the tomb. She had a great love for him. And if you don't remember anything else, great love for Jesus begets great love for you. When you love him with all of your heart, he spares nothing, but he gives everything. He left a message that morning for all believers. He bent over and looked in at the strips lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. That cloth was still laying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciples who had reached the tomb first went inside, and he saw and he believed. It really can't be proven, but there's a custom, the custom of the napkin. When a man with servants was eating a meal, he would use that napkin as a signal. We still do it today in fine restaurants, especially. But he would use that napkin to signal during the course of the meal. If he left the table for a moment and he wadded up that napkin, it meant that he was finished and he wouldn't be back. But if he folded it neatly and laid it by the plate, it would tell the servants that he was just stepping away for a moment, but he'd be back. Jesus, that cloth that was wrapped around his head, he folded it, laid it down a little distance from all the others, but he laid it there. He was telling his disciples, "You might not see me right now. I might be out of your sight, but I'll be back. I'll be back. I'm not gone forever." He revealed himself to other disciples. There were many other things that took place on that resurrection morning that marked it as the grand and glorious day that we know that it is. For us, 2,000 years removed from the resurrection, the message has not changed. The message is the same. We still need to hear that good news. We still need to tell ourselves, we still need to tell each other that Jesus is risen from the dead. He's alive. He's not dead. He's as alive today as he was then. And because he lives, there's hope for tomorrow. That person who is trapped in sin needs to hear this message. If they have an addiction or they're addicted to a way of life that's not prosperous, they need to hear Jesus is alive for you today. If they see no avenue of escape, they need to know that Jesus made a way that you can be set free. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't see a way out, Jesus has made a way for you. You can be set free. You need to know, my friend, that if you'll come to Jesus for salvation or for help, he'll be right there to hear you, to move on your behalf, to help you. Every step of the way, He'll walk with you. I thank God for that proof.